Literature 5. Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. Exercises 4 and 5.
The clock struck 6 and, having swept up the hearth, Beth put a pair of slippers down to warm. Somehow the sight of the old shoes had a good effect upon the girls, for Mother was coming and everyone brightened to welcome her. Meg lighted the lamp. Amy got out of the easy chair without being asked, and Jo forgot how tired she was as she sat up to hold the slippers nearer to the blaze. They are quite worn out. Marmy must have a new pair. I thought I'd get her some with my dollar, said Beth. No, I shall, cried Amy. I'm the oldest, began Meg. But Jo cut in with a decided, I'm the man of the family now Papa is away, and I shall provide the slippers, for he told me to take special care of Mother while he was gone. I'll tell you what we'll do, said Beth. Let's each get her something for Christmas, and not get anything for ourselves. That's like you, dear. What will we get? Exclaimed Jo. Everyone thought soberly for a minute. Then Meg announced, as if the idea was suggested by the sight of her own pretty hands, I shall give her a nice pair of gloves.
Army shoes, best to be had, cried Jo. Some handkerchiefs, all hemmed, said Beth.
I'll get a little bottle of cologne. She likes it, and it won't cost much. So I'll have some left to buy my pencils, added Amy.
How will we give the things? Asked Meg.
Put them on the table and bring her in and see her open the bundles. Don't you remember how we used to do on our birthdays? Answered Jo.
I used to be so frightened when it was my turn to sit in the chair with the crown on and see you all come marching round to give the presents with a kiss. I like the things and the kisses, but it was dreadful to have you sit looking at me while I opened the bundles, said Beth, who was toasting her face and the bread for tea at the same time.
Let Marmy think we are getting things for ourselves, and then surprise her. We must go shopping tomorrow afternoon, Meg.
Glad to find you so merry, my girls, said a cheery voice at the door. And the girls turned to welcome a tall, motherly lady with a, can I help you, look about her, which was truly delightful. She was not elegantly dressed, but a noble-looking woman, and the girls thought the gray cloak and unfashionable bonnet covered the most splendid mother in the world.
Well, dearies, how have you got on today?
There was so much to do, getting the boxes ready to go tomorrow, that I didn't come home to dinner.
Has anyone called, Beth? How is your cold, Meg? Jo, you look tired to death. Come and kiss me, baby.
While making these maternal inquiries, Mrs. March got her wet things off, her warm slippers on, and sitting down in the easy chair, drew Amy to her lap, preparing to enjoy the happiest hour of her busy day. The girls flew about, trying to make things comfortable, each in her own way. Meg arranged the tea table. Jo brought wood and set chairs, dropping, overturning, and clattering everything she touched. Beth trotted to and fro between parlor and kitchen, quiet and busy, while Amy gave directions to everyone, as she sat with her hands folded. As they gathered about the table, Mrs. March said, with a particularly happy face, I've got a treat for you after supper. A quick, bright smile went round like a streak of sunshine. Beth clapped her hands, regardless of the biscuit she held. And Jo tossed up her napkin, crying, a letter, 3 cheers for Father. Yes, a nice, long letter. He is well, and thinks he shall get through the cold season better than we feared. He sends all sorts of loving wishes for Christmas, And an especial message to you girls, said Mrs. March, patting her pocket as if she had got a treasure there.